Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tom Withers, retired from the Associated Press, but working like crazy.
Yeah, I tell you what, retirement is hard work. trying to fill up the days sometimes.
I keep dreaming, Tom.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll be honest with you, Jeff. It came much sooner than I expected it to. Don't regret it. I mean, there's so much I miss already. I'll be honest
with you
guys. Yeah.
But look, here you sit. You're covering the Cavs game tonight for the Associated Press.
There you go. I'll leave from here and go over and spend at least a little time at the Polar Express opening day. It's all good. Yeah, I do. I miss my friends. I don't miss the daily grind. I'll be honest with you guys. As you can imagine, and you guys know better than I do, this is an active sports town.
There's
never really a day where there's not some kind of news with one of the three major franchises, right? And then never mind all the ancillary stuff that can come along with
Absolutely.
That. I have not missed this offseason and build up to the draft because in speaking to Scott Petrak and Chris Easterling and Mary Kay, it's been a lot.
This one's been hectic.
It's always been a lot.
This one's been hectic. Guardians through nine games, Tom, are 3-6.
Yeah.
All right, let's just get this out of the way. It's nine games. We all know the deal. You can't draw conclusions. One thing that we talked about yesterday on the show, and I'm trying not to draw any conclusion from this, but you had a little concern about the rotation. Mm. You wondered if the bullpen was going to be as nails as it was last year. Mm. And you're wondering, okay, can the offense be without Josh Naylor? And can that work? And so far, every one of those things is a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And that to me is the thing. Very short sample size, but everything you kind of wondered about is like, well, how's this going?
Manifesting itself. Yeah, concern might be a strong word even though. But
I agree.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. When you trade the best defensive second baseman in baseball.
Arguably the best defensive player in the game.
Baseball, yeah. When you trade a proven, run producer in Josh Naylor, to your point, all the questions that come with any rotation in any bullpen in any season, right?
Every year.
And all that stuff has kind of come to roost already, which I guess, though, is a good thing, though, right? Because you anticipated it, and now you address it. And to your point, nine games does not make a season. Neither does 19 or 59, for that matter.
I just hate that the things we were thinking about are already on display.
I'm with you. And baseball did them no favors, but they had to do them a favor by allowing them to finish the renovations by keeping the team out of town for the first part of the year. So, yeah, kind of a little bit of a different vibe this year. You know, I think last year they came home 7-2 right before the opener. And
all of a sudden, hey, this Stephen Vogt guy.
Hey, this new manager. How about this guy? Yeah. I've been interested to see him post-game just from afar, Jeff and Dan, just in the way he's handling this, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have to handle many of these kinds of situations last year, right?
He had a great start and it never really went away.
I mean, we had a couple little hiccups along the line. Yep. So, you know, it's been reassuring to hear him, you know, fall back on what, you know, sometimes it's manager speak, coach speak, or whatever you want. But, you know, hey, I believe in this group. I know we'll hit better. I know we'll field better. I know we'll pitch better. And I think they will.
What's your, and again, concern is too strong of a word. What's your area of interest here?
It's a good one. I like the way you did.
Thank you very much.
Good pivot there.
Is it the rotation? Is it the bullpen? Which this front office has done a great job year after year of putting arms in that bullpen to get the job done. Or is it the offense that right now is about 2/3 of the way down the key stats in runs and batting average?
You know, it's yes, yes, and yes. I think I'm interested in all of those. Yeah. Because I think each of them can be a strength and each of those areas can be a weakness as well, Jeff. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this young bullpen last year, right? An unknown bullpen. You know, Kate Smith, nobody knew who the guy was, right? There's a book on him now. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how he now adjusts to the way hitters are going to adjust to him. I think it's going to be interesting to see the way, and we can talk to Chris about this a little bit, maybe how Stephen Vogt uses his bullpen differently this year. You know, we all raised those red flags early last year when
four guys, 74 or more appearances.
Yeah, it was some, right? And we were like, oh boy, at some point.
Get to the fifth, and then here they come.
Yeah, and at some point, that's going to come back to haunt you. Now, I'm not going to say that it necessarily did.
Yeah.
It kind of did. You're also up against a Yankee team. You're also up in the ALCS, so.
It's a different ballgame.
It is, but I wonder in the offseason how they may have, you know, address that with Steven and just in terms of, you know, keeping guys fresh going forward.
I wonder about that. Stephen Vogt being a former catcher, I thought he overused some of the guys at the back end of the bullpen, but I also don't know that he had a choice.
He didn't. I totally agree with you. Especially the way the rotation was.
You can't interrupt.
Yeah. The way the rotate, you know, with the Bieber injury out of the gate, with parading one starter after another with a lot of young guys,
McKenzie not being there,
you know, worrying about, you know, are we getting to an innings maximum with Bibee? I mean, there were a lot of other variables there that I think led into the way that Steven did use that bullpen. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see the way he goes about year two.
One thing I was surprised about, and maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was, Scott Barlow didn't finish the season here. And he was pretty good early on. And then Nick Sandlin's not here this year. And he was the Linus security blanket for Stephen Vogt.
He was terrific, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And then they made a couple of significant moves and, you know, got rid of Barlow last year and moved Nick to Toronto.
Eli Morgan also?
And Eli Morgan gone. And I just thought that it was strange, to be honest with you.
Every bullpen goes over. You know, has a lot of turnover, right? I mean, that's year to year. That's whether you're the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Marlins, you're going to have turnover there. It's an important component, and I don't have to tell you guys, and it's gotten even more so over the last 5 years in
baseball. The way the game is played now.
Oh, my God, absolutely, yeah.
The way that hitters see a guy for maybe two at-bats. You know, if you see a starting pitcher.
Oh, you're lucky to see a guy. Anymore.
If you get them for three, oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the way the game's constructed now, though. Like, to your point, you know, five innings and turn them loose.
Do you like it?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back, like, you guys had asked me earlier about opening days, and I think, you know, I'll go back to my childhood or my early teens or whatever, when Gaylord Perry would throw, you know, 30 complete games in a season. You give him the ball on opening day, and it felt like you couldn't take it away from them until September, right?
So they weren't having to throw 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's like, you know, now when you watch a game, and whether you're watching the guards or one of the MLB games, and a starter goes six innings, it's like they want to throw a parade for him, right?
New time, old time starting pitchers, I've heard them just poo poo the whole idea of a quality start. Wait a minute. Three runs in six innings? That's a quality start?
Can you imagine Bob Feller talking about quality starts now?
Yeah. I wonder how many quality starts Bob had in his career. The situation with most of the offensive players right now. I hate it because they're just, you know, like Lane Thomas to me is a really nice upgrade in center field over what you've had offensively out there with Tyler Freeman and with Miles Straw in the past, but he's not hitting very well right now.
172.
It's terrible that these poor guys are off to these rough starts offensively. That doesn't help things. And I was hoping Brian Rocchio would jump out and be playoff Brian Rocchio or something that resembled it. He's going to have to fight his way back to that.
I want him to be spring training Brian Rocchio.
He was terrific. He's
just, I know. Well, again, though, Jeff, 9 games.
Yep.
So let's reevaluate this here soon.
Gabe Arias is at second base for now. We know eventually Travis Bazzano will be at second base, and he's hitting over 500 at Akron. He's 7-for-13 with a home run. And
he almost hit for the cycle in his first game.
Yeah, I can't wait to get Chris on the show coming up in about 8 minutes. Is there a Juan Brito window here? Because he's hitting 345 in Columbus. He's off to a really nice start.
I think there has to be. I think there's going to be a lot of change at that. I think that's going to be kind of a rotational week-to-week almost situation. And you want to give Arias enough time. I mean,
he's out of options.
He is.
You got to figure if they pull the plug on him, Tom, he's going to be designated for assignment.
Yeah, which you don't want to do at this point.
No.
Because you're not sure. I mean, we all know that Bazzano is going to be here at some point. Now, is that in July? Isn't that in September? Or is it next week? I don't know.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be that. And obviously, and you know, knock on wood.
Guys have made the jump from Double A before.
Injuries happen, right? Things suddenly change where, you know, your best laid plans go right out the window. So, you know, I like Arias still, though. I like his at bats. You know, every time I watch him, I'm like, take the ball to right field. Like, you know, stay within yourself. Because when he overswings, he gets himself into big trouble. There's been some defensive situations, too, that have not been great. Again,
he looks like a natural shortstop trying to figure out second base.
And again, unfortunately for him, I'm viewing him through the prism of you're trying to replace the best fielding defensive player maybe in baseball.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough.
Chris Antonetti is the president of baseball operations for the Guardians. He has a busy big day, but he's going to be nice enough to join us. He's coming up next. Get ready. Chris Antonetti from the Guardians, coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, Jeff Phelps here. Tom Withers in for Andy today. How about that?
Hey, guys. It's great to be with you. Hi, Tom. I haven't done a radio interview with you before, so this is really interesting.
Hi, Chris. Good to see you. Good to hear from you.
Chris, just so you know, he does still have a pen in his hand and a tape recorder in the other, just so you know.
Yeah, some habits die hard, I guess.
3-6 start. Okay, it's early. We all know that. Your impressions of what you've seen so far from your ball club?
Well, I think after playing a really clean and good series overall in Kansas City to start the year, we struggled in San Diego and L.A. We didn't play our best baseball, made some mistakes that are uncharacteristic for us. But I think, you know, I'm confident that'll be a blip on the screen when we look back on the course of the season, because we know part of what's been our identity and our success is the way we take care of the baseball, the little things we do well, run the bases, make fundamentally sound plays. And I think once that gets on track and we continue to solidify, get more consistent pitching, I think we'll be able to string some wins together.
Hey, Chris, before we get back into diving deeper into baseball for a second, it is opening day. This is also our first opening day without Mr. Larry Dolan. And I know the Dolans have been a special part of your life as well as to Northeast Ohio. And I was just hoping that for a second, Chris, you could reflect on Larry and what he meant to you and what he meant to the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry meant so much to so many of us. Larry was someone who cared so deeply about the city of Cleveland and all that it has to offer and the people within the community. And he really saw it as a true honor and privilege to be a steward of the Cleveland Indians and now Cleveland Guardians franchise. And for me, it was a privilege to work alongside Larry for 25 years and hopefully continue to build on, you know, the great legacy that our organization had and continue that pursuit to win a World Series, because I know that's one thing Larry wanted more than anything else, was to be able to help deliver a World Series to the Cleveland community, and that's something we'll continue to work very hard to do.
Such a gentleman, too, and I always enjoyed my opportunities to talk with Mr. Dolan. I remember, Chris, you talking about it. I remember Mr. Dolan talking about it. Pitching, develop our own pitching. You guys have done that. And now you're sitting here with a rotation that is a little different, I think, than some of the ones you've had in the past. You know, bringing in Ortiz in the trade, Ben Lively back for a second go-around. How comfortable are you with the rotation? And let me take it even a step further, Chris. With some of the depth you have at AAA right now, that looks like it's on the cusp of being ready to come up here.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, Jeff. I think one of the first and foremost, for us to be successful, we have to continue to develop on both sides of the ball. Obviously, the development of pitching and starting pitching in particular has been a trademark for us for, I don't know, the better part of the last decade, and we need to make sure we continue that. And we know we have work to do to gain some consistency with the rotation that we have now. As you said, there are other options that we can potentially turn to, guys that are currently pitching out of the Major League bullpen, some guys in AAA, but we believe from that group we will be able to get a dependable group of starting pitchers, and because we know that'll be important for our success as we look forward this season. So we'll continue to work on that. We've got the right group of people continuing to support our players and helping them continue to grow and improve, and you know, led by Carl Willis, who you know is now probably approaching a Hall of Fame resume as a coach. You know, the group that he leads is well equipped to help our players thrive and succeed.
Chris, what'd you think of Ortiz's second start? Obviously, a little rough out of the gate, but you had to be encouraged by what you saw the last time out.
Yeah, markedly different outing for Luis the second time out. I think the first outing, he struggled just with his command overall. He was working behind in counts consistently. So that led to walks and hitter advantage counts. And when you give major league hitters consistent advantage opportunities, it's really hard to succeed. And I think Luis was able to take a meaningful step forward in that second start in Anaheim, where he worked ahead much better. He attacked the strike zone. He didn't walk anybody. He allowed the defense to work behind him, and he was able to get through six pretty efficient innings. And unfortunately, he made just a few mistakes with sliders that guys did some damage on. But overall, we thought it was a meaningful step forward for Luis.
Chris Antonetti joining us, the president of baseball operations for the Guardians. Home opener coming up against the Chicago White Sox today. Weather's 70 degrees and balmy, so everything's looking good.
I love that. Exactly. Let's go with that.
Let's spin it, Chris. What the heck?
Let's just keep saying it. Maybe it'll happen.
As vital as the rotation is, Chris, you guys have had great success putting bullpens together. How challenging is that from year to year? And knowing that, you know, last year's guys might not be as good as they were last year, or last year's guys might step up and be better than they were last year.
Yeah, you highlighted it, Jeff. The variability with relievers in particular can be pretty extreme from year to year. I think we've tried to manage that as best as we can. One of the reasons that happens is, you know, if you think about guys that are most effective in a year, they tend to get relied on a lot. And so they accumulate a lot of innings and throw a lot of pitches. And that sometimes can have a carry forward effect on the following season, where they may not have the same either pitch quality or be able to attack the strike zone the same way. So what we tried to do, especially for the guys like Emmanuel and Hunter and Tim and Cade, that, you know, really threw a ton of innings, including in the postseason, we tried to be really deliberate with their offseason buildup, as well as how they progressed through spring training, and gave them a little bit more time to rest and recover so they can come into the season strong and pitching well. And, you know, I know Emmanuel hasn't had his typical results, but the things that we would look for in terms of pitch quality and things like that for that group of four seems to be in a really good place right now. And hopefully they can continue to be a strength of our team.
Chris, as usual, you answered my question before I got to it. In terms of the ton of innings that your bullpen threw last year, I think we all early on were a little concerned that, you know, the appearances were racking up, and everybody wondered that, you know, at what time was this bullpen going to show some signs of fatigue. Did you spend much time in the offseason kind of reevaluating the way Steven used the bullpen? Any other major changes? You talked about a little bit of, you know, maybe changes in the off season, but in terms of the way you go forward during the season, any major changes there?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. Our intent going into last year wasn't to rely on the bullpen as heavily as we did, but, you know, what we're seeking to do is win as many games as possible. And what you know, as our season evolved and we weren't getting as much consistency out of our starters, we did have to rely upon our bullpen a little bit more than was typical. And that group really stepped forward and was a key aspect of us winning games. So what we wanted to try to do this year is both, one, add some other alternatives into the bullpen that we think can help us. And we think that the group of, you know, we added, obviously, Paul Sewald, we added Jacob Junis, plus guys that made meaningful contributions like Eric Sobrowski and Andrew Walters, who are not yet pitching in the major leagues. We feel like that group, you know, will add to the, you know, options that Voter has. So maybe we can give a little bit more, a little bit more of a breather for Emmanuel, Hunter, Tim, and Cade. So said another way, our goal was to add, improve our starting rotation so those guys could go deeper into the game and then add more options for Voter to turn to when we have leads.
Makes sense.
Chris Antonetti's joining us. He's the president of baseball operations for the Guardians. My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek when I say this. Hey, did you know Travis Bezzana's hitting .538, Chris?
I didn't notice, really. That's a good start.
And Juan Brito is hitting .345.
You know, I knew I would learn something coming out of
See, there, there
I
you
knew
go.
I learned something coming out here, so thank you.
And Brito's hitting .345, and Gabe Arias has done a solid job so far. How do you guys temper your enthusiasm for the number one overall pick, let him develop, maybe get a look at Brito and give Arias a chance to grab that job, Chris? That's there's a lot of guys there.
Well, file that under the really good problems to have. If we have so many players that are performing at the major league level and have guys beneath that are pounding down the door to try to get their major league opportunities, the thing I've learned over time is really good players find their ways to the major leagues, and guys that can help us will find their way up here. And so I'm confident. I mean, one of the things you highlighted, Gabe Arias has had some really good at bats for us in the first nine games of the season. He's been one of the more consistent guys for us offensively, and he's played really sound defense for the most part. So that's been the starting point. And then, as you noted, Juan and Travis have both gotten off to good start. So hopefully, a month from now, we're talking about the same thing and how do we create opportunities for those guys that are thriving in the minor leagues with our major league team.
You mentioned Arias's defense, Chris. What did he work on mostly during spring training to kind of improve that part of his game?
Gabby's always been a really gifted defender with the skills to be really, really good no matter where we play him. I think one of the things we challenge him with is the consistency and being there on every pitch and making every play, not only the spectacular ones, but the routine ones as well. And that's something Gabby's really worked hard on during the course of spring and has carried it forward so far this year.
Chris Antonetti's joining us. He's the president of baseball operations for the Guardians. The right side of the infield is a different beast this year. Josh Naylor with the Diamondbacks. You brought in Carlos Santana, third trip here to Cleveland. My fear at the time, Chris, was that, okay, you brought in Carlos, who's at the end of his career. I hope that doesn't take at bats away from Kyle Manzardo, who we all want to see develop. It hasn't. Did you feel the necessity to bring Carlos in, even with Manzardo there, when you traded Josh away? And how has that balanced out so far?
So I think, as you said, the ideal outcome would have been that Carlos would join the organization and contribute and help us win games on the field, but also help Kyle continue to grow and develop as a player. And I think in the early part of the season, it couldn't have gone better. Carlos is doing exactly that. He's contributing on the field. He's contributing in the clubhouse, and he's helped Kyle feel really comfortable and help him continue to progress. So hopefully we can look up over the course of the season and feel we've gotten a lot of productivity between those two guys at first base and DH.
And I think we need to have a Carlos Santana short pants giveaway at some
there
point.
There you go. Well, it's his birthday today, so make sure you wish him happy birthday. Yeah, happy
definitely.
Birthday to Carlos.
Yeah.
What the heck is with those pants, Chris? They're above his knees.
he likes the look. He feels comfortable. And if that's his thing and it helps him be productive, I'm all for it.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. Chris, other changes, some we won't see, but, you know, in parking over by the ballpark today, I'm still struck by how good Progressive Field looks for 30 going on whatever. From what I understand, I am not going to recognize the clubhouse and all the other changes you guys have made to the internal parts of Progressive Field. Can you take us through exactly what was done in terms of the new clubhouse, where the visitors are now located, all those kinds of things?
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for us throughout the organization because we continue to modernize the ballpark to create better experiences for our fans and create great spaces for them to enjoy the game. And I think those changes will be visible and evident. Obviously, we saw some of those changes come online last offseason, and then a few more were coming online, one of which the Terrace District opened for opening day, and then the home plate area will be open at some point in May. Thankfully, we complicated things a little bit with the schedule by playing deeper into the postseason last year. I wish we would have made it a little bit harder by playing a little bit longer, but our team did a tremendous amount of efforts to create some really awesome spaces that I think our fans will enjoy. And then for us on the baseball side, we hadn't really renovated the clubhouse areas since the ballpark was open. There had just been some minor adjustments, and this was our opportunity to really bring our clubhouse and create a state-of-the-art facility where our players can come in and prepare to perform and recover. And the spaces that we now have are really extraordinary, and for everything from a renewed nutrition and dining experience to different modalities for recovery, everything from sauna and steam room, cold plunge, different hydrotherapy modalities. There's a lot there. The whole weight room has been redesigned and renovated. We have an indoor turf area inside to help us protect on days like today where the weather might not cooperate, where guys can get some ground ball work in and even do some of their activation on that turf area. The batting cages have been all remodeled. So we think it'll be a game changer for us in the way in which we can help support our players' preparation.
When you had to replace a managerial legend, you brought in a guy who hadn't managed before. Are you stunned at how it's worked out with Stephen Vogt? And what impresses you most about your manager?
I think when, if you rewind to the time when we transitioned, I think we were hopeful that we could find a leader that could appreciate the things that we did well as an organization and help us build upon that foundation of success by again, having that appreciation, but also challenging us and thinking, giving us new perspective and new ideas and a new way of doing things. And Stephen was exactly that perfect complement. He and the coaching staff that we were able to put together, both guys that had been here in the past, as well as some new voices and fresh ideas from outside of the organization, have come together and gel and really helped us advance who we are. And that will always be something we strive to do. Is we have to be relentless in our quest to improve year after year, because we're in a hyper-competitive business and we need to find ways to beat our competitors. And one way we can do that is with the support we provide to our players, to our coaches and manager. And Steven's done an extraordinary job in leading that environment and creating a great dynamic in the clubhouse and leading an extraordinary group of coaches.
Chris, busy day, big day. We thank you for taking time to be with us, and we always greatly appreciate our conversation. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Great to be with you. Happy opening day.
Thanks, Chris Antonetti, president of baseball operations for the Guardians, joining us on home opening day on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep